again, 1 Corinthians chapter 8. And in this chapter, Paul, again, he's been answering questions that he received from some of the believers. But he answers another question from the Corinthians, which seems to be whether or not it was okay to eat meat that had been sacrificed to idols. Okay. And this was talked about, I believe, in the Gospels also. But, you know, Corinthian was a Greek city, and where many different gods and goddesses were worshipped, pagan gods and goddesses. And they made many animal sacrifices to these so-called gods. You know, and again, that's not something we can relate to whatsoever. Okay, so you have to, you know, picture this in your mind, you know, that they would use different things, you know, as far as sacrifices. So with all these sacrifices going on, a lot of the meat was frequently, you know, what are you going to do with all these sacrifices? So sometimes it would wind up in the market, you know, that people could buy the meat. And of course, the Corinthians grew up with this, so it meant nothing to them, you know. They knew it was sacrificed to idols. It didn't make any difference. So most of the people in the Corinthian church had come from a pagan background, had come from that background. And so they were asking, basically, if we eat this meat that's been sacrificed, are we still kind of taking part in the worship of idols or false gods? Right? Good question. And so Paul's going to answer the meat question, but first he's going to deal with some of the attitudes that people in the Corinthian church had towards others, as some of them were thinking they were superior to others with spiritual knowledge. And again, they didn't even have the New Testament. You know, they're you know, feeling they're superior to other believers because they knew more academically, basically. And so in verse 1 of, he says, now concerning things offered to idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. And if anyone thinks that he knows anything, he knows nothing. Yet has he ought to know. Well, he knows nothing yet as he ought to know. But if anyone loves God, this one is known by him. And so Paul's speaking to those Christians, again, who arrogantly look down on other believers because of their lack of spiritual knowledge or immaturity. Okay? And Paul says they were mature in their knowledge or academics, but really they were not mature in their love towards other believers who didn't have that degree of spiritual knowledge yet. So what's more important, head knowledge or love? Of course. So this is what he's talking about. So Paul says if you're going around thinking you know it all, you don't. Because if you did know it all, you wouldn't be acting like that, right? Okay. Years ago, there was a guy we worked with. His nickname was IKEA. I know everything, almost. He was just one of these guys. He thought he knew everything. So he got that nickname, IKEA. I know everything, almost. Okay. These guys are crazy with that nicknames. Anyway, Ephesians chapter 4, let's go to the right. Ephesians chapter 4, past Galatians, Ephesians then. Galatians, then Ephesians. And Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, he says, and he, God himself, gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Why? For the equipping of the saints and for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying or the building up of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect or mature man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the coming craftiness of deceitful plotting. Okay. So, again, Paul here is talking about, you know, of course, he says we want people, Christians, to come into the unity of what first? Faith. Right? We want to have our faith, everyone's faith, in the right direction and in God and for the right reasons. Again, that's why we teach through the scriptures. So it builds our faith. But then he says knowledge is second. And so knowledge is good. Absolutely. Biblical knowledge is good. Knowing scriptures is good. Again, do we all have to become biblical scholars? No, because what did Paul say in the beginning? And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers. But still, you know, we need to know what we believe and why we believe it. But again, we're not going to, you know, in a church, of course, we're not a large church, but in, you know, a bigger church, but, you know, you have new believers, you have people that have been walking with the Lord 40 years. You know, you can't be looking down on people or young people because they don't have their act together yet. After I got saved, I was still getting high for a little while till God, you know, was like, not vocally, but, you know, dude, what are you doing? You know, you can't be mixing this, you know. And nobody knew, but, you know, God was still cleaning things out from my old lifestyle. He still is. And so the more mature Corinthians, Paul's talking about in Corinthians, should have been building up others in their faith instead of tearing them down. You know, he's saying knowledge is good, but love is better. So back in Corinthians, verse 4. Therefore, concerning the eating of things offered to idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is no other God but one. For even if there are so-called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, there are many gods and many lords. Yet for us, there is one God, the Father, of whom all things, and we for him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, to whom are all things and through whom we live. Okay, so again, Paul is basically saying an idol is nothing, right? What is an idol, a statue? It's nothing but wood, metal, stone. It's nothing. And there are so-called gods and goddesses, but there's only one true God overall. And so Paul wants the church to know that meat that's been sacrificed to idols is really meat that has been sacrificed to what? Nothing. Nothing. And that there is no truth to the teaching that the idol has any spiritual or physical effect on meat. I mean, I go to the 22nd Street Meat Market all the time. I don't know what they're doing back there. It can be, you know. Steak is a steak. But he wants these know-it-alls to know, to understand something else. Again, verse 7. However, there is not in every one that knowledge. For some with the consciousness of the idol until now eat as it is a thing offered to an idol, and their conscience, being weak, is defiled. So Paul's getting these, trying to get these arrogant Christians, you know, to understand that when others see meat, you know, they're Christians now, but when others see meat being eaten that's been sacrificed to idols, it brings them back to that old lifestyle, kind of how they were living. Remind them of their former life. And so to them, even though they're Christians, eating that meat that's been sacrificed to idols is, you know, for them, it's kind of like taking part in that. And again, that's why they're asking these questions. You know, and they don't want any part of it. So who's right? Is it the meat doesn't mean anything, or some people are kind of offended by that? Well, let's see. Again, verse 8. But food does not commend to God. For neither if we eat, or are we the better, nor if we do not eat, are we the worse. So Paul simply says, food is food. Okay? Doesn't make us any more spiritual, doesn't make us any more unspiritual if that meat's been sacrificed. Has no effect on our spirituality. Right? So really, they're both right. Because, you know, many of us came from a Catholic background where we didn't eat meat on Friday. Right? Any of you here did that? You know, you didn't eat meat on Friday. Bible doesn't say anything about that. It's more of a tradition for whatever reason. Some people would say, well, it's to support the fishermen. I don't know. Whatever the case. Whatever the case is, you know, people, they wouldn't do that, you know. And I'm sure the fish markets at that time were very happy because they sold a lot more. But, you know, I used to bring my lunch to work. And sometimes on a Friday, whatever I cooked on Thursday, I made more to bring to lunch on Friday. Sometimes it would be meat. And people would question me about it. Why are you eating meat on Friday? So what do? Well, instead of bashing them with the pork chop, right, I would tell them, you know, that's more of a tradition. It's not really, you know, God didn't really ever say anything about that. You know, then I would tell them that God is more interested in what comes out of our mouths than what goes in. You think he's worried about you eating a hamburger, but yet you're cursing up a storm? What? That don't make no sense. So let's go to Ephesians again, chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. And he's writing to the Christian church in Ephesus. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. What's corrupt? It's not good. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. In chapter 5, verse 4. And he says, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. Okay, so neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting. What is that? That's like, it's jokes that are, you know, whatever. Maybe sexual jokes or whatever it may be. You know, just nasty jokes. He says that's not fitting for us to do. We're foolish talking. Right? Now let's go to Mark chapter 7. Gospel of Mark chapter 7. You know, we're talking about that stuff. I mean, you know, I'm on the light rail sometimes. And these grammar school kids are, I can't even, I mean, I'm not saying that never slips out of my mouth. I ain't saying that. But what I'm saying, these kids are like brutal. I'm talking maybe 6, 7 years old. Like saying stuff that adults don't even say. It blows your mind. Blows your mind. Girls too. Girls too. Really? So Mark chapter 7, verse 14. Now Jesus is going to talk here a bit about what we've been talking about in Corinthians. Mark chapter 7, verse 14. And when he had called the multitude to himself, he said to them, "Hear me, everyone, and understand. There is nothing," what's nothing mean? Nothing. "that enters a man from outside which can defile him, but the things which come out of him, those are the things that defile a man." Okay. Verse 18. "So he said to them, 'Are you thus without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatever enters a man from the outside cannot defile him, because it does not enter his heart, but his stomach, and is eliminated, thus purifying all foods?'" Right? So whatever you eat, you eat. Bless you. But it's not gonna, it's just goes in and comes out. Doesn't affect anything. Verse 20, he said, "Whatever comes out of a man, that defiles a man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed what? Evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, and foolishness. All of these things come from within and defile a man." Okay. Okay, so we have the freedom to eat meat then, right? We've come to that conclusion, no matter what. Okay. You know, what we want, when we want. But freedom comes with what? Responsibility. Absolutely. You know, people, you hear people say today, "Well, it's a free country." Well, you're not free, obviously, to do anything you want. But people take that literally. It's, you know, it's a free country. I can do what I want. But let's go back to 1 Corinthians. And Paul's going to talk about that. Verse 9. "But beware lest somehow this liberty or freedom of yours becomes a stumbling block to those who are weak." What's a stumbling block? Something you trip over. Right? You don't want to trip somebody up by your freedom. Okay? "For if anyone sees you who have knowledge eating in an idol's temple, will not the conscience of him who is weak be emboldened to eat those things offered to idols? And because of your knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died? But when you thus sin against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. Therefore, if food makes my brother stumble, I will never again eat meat, lest I make my brother stumble." Okay? So, basically, Paul's saying, sure, you have freedom. You know, it's both ways. Sure, you have freedom. But be careful and make sure that your freedom doesn't offend anyone. You know, I mean, obviously, if you, You call, you know, somebody to come over for dinner and they're vegetarian, you're not going to make beef stew, are you? Right? That would be offensive to do that. And maybe, again, you may have the freedom to do that in your own house, but, you know, would you do that? Would you eat beef stew while they're eating something else? I don't know. I'm just saying we have the freedom to do that, but it's being conscious and aware of other people. You know, so our actions can never be based on what we know to be right just for ourselves. That's why Paul said in verse 1, knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. It builds up. Let's go to Romans to the left, chapter 14. Just bear with me a little bit. Even with my glasses now, it's hard to read. So Romans chapter 14, verse 3, it said, Paul says, let's go to verse 1, chapter 14 of Romans. Receive one who is weak in the faith, but do not dispute over doubtful things. Right? Like doubtful things, whether you can eat meat or not, this and that. He says, for one believes he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats only vegetables. And he says, let not him who eats despise him who does not eat. And let not him who does not eat judge him who eats, for God has received him. Okay? So, you know, don't judge anybody if they're not eating that meat. I said, if people don't want to eat meat on Friday, go ahead. Go ahead. But same way. If I'm going to eat meat on Friday, you can't. That's what he's saying, basically. You know, don't criticize someone else for that. All right? And verse 14. He says, I know and I am convinced by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him who considers anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. Yet if your brother is grieved because of your food, you are no longer walking in love. Right? So again, he's talking about what's more important, our freedom or showing somebody love and respecting them. But if your brother is grieved because of your food, you are no longer walking in love. Do not destroy with your food the one for whom Christ died. Therefore, do not let your good be spoken of as evil. Okay? For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Okay? Now, you know, there's different things. I'm going to get ready to close because we have to do communion. But does this apply to us today? I mean, in that sense a little bit, but you know, we don't have the problem of meat being offered to idols. But when speaking of Christian liberty and freedom, sometimes the subject of alcohol comes up. Can Christian drink alcohol? Are we allowed to drink? You know, God's word says, do not get drunk. It doesn't say, don't drink. Okay. But that doesn't mean we should, and many Christians don't for various reasons, you know, that, you know, just because we can doesn't mean we should, right? And many Christians don't for various reasons. But say we're exercising our freedom to have a glass of wine or a beer at dinner at a restaurant. A Christian brother or sister sees us and is either enticed by that or confused. Right? I mean, you know, I have some friends that are not believers. I don't really hang out with them. obviously, like I used to. But imagine they invite me over for a barbecue. And I go to the liquor store. He says, hey, listen, can you bring a six-pack, you know, for me? Not for me, but for him. The guy's invited me. So I go to whatever, and I walk out of there. And somebody from church is walking by or driving by, seeing me carrying this thing on. Can I do that? Do I have the freedom to do that? But what's that going to do to some people? They're going to be like, whoa. Some people are going to be like, hey, Pastor Mike, he's cool. But other people be like, what are you doing? What's he doing? That doesn't look good, does it? Not at all. And so, again, freedom. You know, people say, well, if he can do that, then I can do that. And therefore, and who knows? That's all it takes to send somebody on down the road again. That's why Paul said in Romans chapter 14, verse 21, he says, it is good neither to eat meat, nor to drink wine, nor to do anything by which your brother stumbles or is offended or is made what? Weak. Weak. It's all right there in that verse. You don't want to do anything that's going to trip somebody up, like, or make them not only trip but fall. Again, it's other-centered. It's not just about us. Okay, let's go back to 1 Corinthians, then we're going to close. And this is what Paul was talking about in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 11. When he said, and because of your knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died. It's one thing to affect someone in ignorance, but Paul in verse 12 has a more serious warning to those who would affect someone like not care. Well, I don't care. I'm going to do what I want to do. He says in verse 12, but when you thus sin against the brethren, and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. Right? Last thing we want to do is to be responsible for, I mean, we're all responsible for our own decisions. But we don't want to influence somebody to trip and fall into sin. Paul takes that and says, you're not sinning just against them, you're sinning against Christ. And if you remember what Jesus said when he was talking about the little ones, you know, anybody, you know, messing with little ones, you know, it's better that this concrete wheel is tied around their neck and thrown into the ocean. Is he talking about children? It seems that way, but he can be talking about children of God too. You want to influence somebody else because of our freedom? Okay. So, again, it's not always about us. Right? We're to build each other up, not tear people down.